Well, praise the Lord. It was a good special. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate that. Got your Bible. You're in 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning. That's what we're going to look at. Just before I get running this morning, I just want to say to the young people of our church, I know that, again, think about these ones just getting married. And, of course, when you're young, you think you got your whole life ahead of you. Whole life means whole will of God. As far as what does God want for your life? I hope that you're doing what the Bible says by seeking his will. I'm going to preach a message this morning on this phrase that says, ask what I shall give thee. And I think there's young people in our church that if you don't ask, you're never going to know. And you need to ask the Lord, what is your will for my life? And I know that you'll have some desire. And by the way, the psalmist said very clearly, delight thyself also in the Lord and he will what? All right, so it's not that God can't give you your desire, but your desire should be his desire. So the idea is, God, if it's your desire, let me do my desire, but make sure my desire does not come before yours. And so I hope that you're asking the Lord's will for your life, and he definitely has a will. When I graduated from high school, I didn't know what God's will was for my life. I did not know what the Lord wanted me to do in life. When I graduated from high school, I knew one thing. I did not want to work secular. I wanted to do something that was ministry related, and so I became a school teacher. I chose the two easiest courses to be able to major in. I majored in history and P.E., history, I figured that anybody can memorize facts, and I figured PE is I had enjoyed sports at that time, and so I did both of those. And so when I graduated from high school, I went to college, got my degree, and then came back, taught in the Christian school for my father because I wanted to be in ministry. I've done a little bit of secular. My first job, secular, was before, obviously we mowed lawns when we were kids, but my first job was Burger King of all things. I still don't eat a Burger King today, all right? I don't even study at Burger King. Anyway, I won't go there. But anyway, Burger King was where I worked in through my junior and senior year of high school. And then I worked for a railroad company. And then when I went to college, I worked for UPS nights. And so, God has secular. Secular is not sinful. Secular God has for us. But I knew when I graduated from high school, I just wanted to be in ministry of some sort. And God had not called me to pastor. I just wanted to do his will. Now, I'm not telling you it's God's will for you to be a school teacher, but I will say this. You ought to say, God, whatever your will is, that's what I want. And by the way, happiness is not doing what you want. Happiness is doing God's will. And that's really what happiness is. And again, that's a message in itself. Now, with that thought this morning, we're going to pick it up in 1 Kings chapter number 3. God asked Solomon that question, ask what I shall give thee. And I want to deal with that for just a little bit this morning. Out of 1 Kings chapter number 3. Just look at verse number 5 with me. Let's pick it up right there. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant, here's what he asked for, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Why? To judge thy people. Why? That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech please the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. But church, I want you to think about that thought this morning in verse number 5, God's question, ask what I shall give thee. But church, I know it's a habit to pray, but it's a good habit. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we just stop and say that we need you to do something in our hearts and lives. Thank you for your word and the power of it. Thank you for the story of Solomon. Lord, help us to be able to answer that question this morning. Ask what I shall give thee. And Lord, may we ask for wisdom like Solomon did. Give us wisdom beyond our years. Father, begin to help us to understand. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Gabriel, since I picked on you, can you help me this morning? Come on up here, all right? You're going to be Solomon this morning. What kind of compliment is that? The wisest person who'd ever lived, all righty? Now, Solomon was sleeping in the story, so guess what? You get to go to bed. All right, go ahead and lay down in there and just put the cover up over you there, and you can go to sleep. Church family, just like you've done most services, all right? This way you get to be comfortable, all right? Some of you want to trade places. This is every service for you right here, all right? Now, church family, in the story that's mentioned, Solomon was not awake when God asked him this question. If you notice in verse number 5, Solomon is sleeping. In fact, in the beginning of verse number 5, it says, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And when you get down to verse number 15, the Bible says, and Solomon awoke. So God is speaking to Solomon in a dream. Now, I find it interesting that in Solomon's subconscious, he had the right conscious response. Now, church, can I just tell you the reason for that is because of where Solomon's heart was. In fact, the previous part of this chapter, the Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord. Now, church, I want to just tell you that when you love God, your answers are right, whether you're sleeping or not. All righty? Now, I want you to think about this morning the question that God asked Solomon. Solomon's sleeping, all right? Thank you for not snoring, but he's sleeping over here, all right? Eyes are closed. He's out of it. And God comes to Solomon in a dream and says, ask what I shall give thee. Now, Solomon, in his dream, begins to have this conversation with God, and he talks to God, and he mentions several things, and when he gets done speaking, God says, I'm pleased with his speech. Now, church, I want to look at his speech, if you don't mind this morning. I want to talk to you about three things about Solomon's request as far as what he was asking for. Now, you and I both know that the reason he was the wisest person who ever lived is because of what he asked for. He asked for wisdom, all righty? And by the way, James 1, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask. Just remember, a lot of times we don't get just simply because we don't ask the Lord. And we know what James 4, 4 says, you have not because you ask not. But the truth of the matter is God wants us to ask. There's something about being a father there's something enjoyable about being able to fill a need for your children when your children are asking for something. Can I just tell you, God the Father is the same way. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus said in, of course, the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door. A lot of times we don't open the door because we're not asking. We are about to start revival. Revival's going to start on Sunday. It's going to go through Friday. And can I just tell you that if we don't ask, we will not get. Revival is not just meeting. My father used to say that churches can't have revival in a week. And again, obviously he was not the Lord, but that was his thought pattern. We would have revival meetings, but he would often say, you cannot get revival to a church in a week. But his thinking is that churches normally have revival meetings. They don't have revival is what he was trying to say. Traditionally, if we meet together, and we should, but if we meet together and God does not meet with us, we're not going to have revival. But can I add to that to say, you are not going to have revival unless you ask him for revival. Are you satisfied where you're at? Are you okay with your Bible reading, your prayer time, your witnessing? Are you fine with how you think about others and how you treat others and what God does through you and for you? We should not be acceptable to this lackadaisical, I am fine attitude. Is that not the Laodicean spirit? The Laodicean spirit was of that same nature of that I'm not hot, I'm not cold, they were lukewarm. And what did they say? I have need of what? Can I tell you, Christians can become like that. I don't need anything. I'm fine. You are not fine. Draw nigh to God means every day of our life that we're supposed to be actively seeking him and asking for him to do what he wants in our life. And I think all of us, and I believe this, that all of us need revival. And I believe that revival can take place. Church family, revival is not just about people being saved, though that's part of revival. But that's just the fruit of revival. The root of revival is God's people getting right with God and God doing a work in their life. Now, this morning, I want to take that question this morning in preparation for us for revival. Ask what I shall give thee. Now, think about Solomon's question, and I want you to notice the three things that are mentioned in Solomon's response when he's talking to the Lord. Just remember, the first thing that I see about his response to that question is, ask what I shall give thee, is that Solomon's first response was his gratefulness to God for the question. Think about, look at your Bible there. The phrase is mentioned four times in verse 6 and 7. Actually, phrase, a grouping of words. Look at verse number 6 again and says, and Solomon said, thou hast. Church family, thou hast is mentioned four times, three times in verse number 6, and it's mentioned one time in verse number 7. Solomon recognized that it was not his father, it was God. It was not him, it was God. Verse 6 again. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. According as that as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness. And thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. All I'm trying to get you to see is this, is that as soon as God asked him the question, Solomon's thinking was not about what he wanted. Solomon's thinking was about who it was coming from. All of us want things from God, but so many times we ask for the fruit instead of asking for the root. Just let me think for just a second here. Solomon was the wisest person who ever lived, and because he asked for wisdom, God says, I'm going to give you riches and honor. In fact, look at your Bible for just a second. Look farther down in the passage there in chapter 3 there. Look at verse number 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall there any arise like unto thee. Verse 13, that I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. All I'm trying to get you to see is this. Solomon could have asked for riches and honor, but the riches and honor was just the fruit of the root. What was the root? God, these people are great. I don't have the answers. I need you to give me an understanding heart so that I can discern between good and bad and be able to lead your people in the right direction. Do you understand that when it comes to our life, God says to us, and he says, ask what I shall give thee. Most of the time, we're not even asking. Ask and it shall be. We're not even asking. But God says, listen, you need to ask. And can I tell you how you begin your asking? With gratefulness, with gratitude, with praise to God. God, it's not me, it's you. I don't deserve what you've given me and what you can give me. Amen. I know you're tired of hearing this, but if you haven't figured it out by now, your prayer time ought to be the model prayer. Amen. And if you haven't figured it out by now, every prayer time starts with glorifying the Lord. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I just want to stop and tell you how good you are. Yeah. That's exactly what Solomon did when it came to God saying, just ask. Ask what you want. Ask what you need. And he says, first of all, I just want you to know thou hast. I just want you to know that I'm here because of you. You're the one that made me the king of Israel. And God, I cannot do this. And the reason I cannot do it is because it's not me, it's you. Just really, you don't raise good kids because you're a good parent. You raise good kids because you've got a great God. You don't have a good job because you are super intelligent and talented in your work. You have a God that gave you what you have in every area of your life, and it's God that gave it to you. You don't have a house and a retirement and a car and all the nice things of life to be able to enjoy because you're such a hard worker. You have everything you have because you've got God. He can take it all away, by the way. You say, Pastor, I've worked for 40 years for what I've got. Can I just tell you? Job had it all taken all away in one day. May we not get too cocky to think that it's us. We must understand that all glory belongs to God. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that the reason Solomon got what he asked for is because he was grateful to God. Just remember, you're grateful to God. We're about to start revival, and I want to tell you, it ought to start with thanksgiving. It ought to start with, God, thank you for life. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the church, for the home that you've given us. Thank you for good health. Thank you. Thank you for all. Everything I have is because of you. If we're not careful, we sometimes look at people. It's the pastor that lets him do that. It's my employer that lets me do this. It's not people. It's God. I see, first of all, that the reason he was able to get what he asked for, as God said, ask what I shall give thee, is because, first of all, he asked with gratefulness. Just remember, you're grateful for what God's done for you. Second thing I want you to see is this. Look at your Bible again. Look at verse number 7 with me. I think this probably gets more attention than anything about Solomon's request. In verse number 7, he says, And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. Look at the phrase now, verse 7. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people. There are several statements here that obviously show the humility that Solomon had. Think about it for a second here. Solomon is the king of a nation. He's not a pastor of a congregation. He's a king of a nation. People answer to him. He's got generals and captains and priests and people. And they talk to him and he tells them what he's thinking and they listen. And Solomon gives up and says, God, listen, God, I know you just told me, ask what I shall give thee. I just want you to know, I am but a little child. Now, we have primary church going on and junior church going on, and so our children are not, the young ones are not in here. We've got a few maybe in here that are 10, 11, 12, or whatever, in these younger ages. When you think of a child is very dependent upon others. Sometimes they want to be independent. In other words, they want to do what they want to do, but they forget that they're very dependent because somebody else has given them a place to live. Somebody else has given them food to eat. Somebody else has put clothes on their back. They like to be independent, but they're very dependent. Why is he making the statement, I am but a little child? Solomon was trying to say, God, I'm dependent upon you. Amen. Humility. Can I just tell you, when God asks the question, ask what I shall give thee, it should be first of all with gratefulness, but second of all, it ought to be with humility. Just, I mean, I don't know if you caught the phrase or not. He says, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. But you remember that phrase, I think, is mentioned at least three times. David is the one that mentioned it. The children of Israel, when Saul was still king, they came and they said, David went in and out with the people. In fact, when they came to anoint David as king, they said, it was you when Saul was king that went out and came in with us. What was he trying to say? David, what was said about David, Solomon, he didn't know how to lead without God leading. I don't know how to lead these people out. I don't know how to lead these people in. Church family, I believe in on the pastor's level, I believe that in spiritual gifts, okay? I believe that God's given us one or more spiritual gifts. By the way, whether you're a pastor, whether you're in the pew, God's given all of us spiritual gifts. That's what makes up the body of Christ. This morning's message is not on the spiritual gift, but I also believe, as you've heard me say before, that our spiritual gift is fueled by our spirituality. Did you know that there are people who have spiritual gifts that could really advance the church? The gift of giving, the gift of teaching, the gift of wisdom. The gift of government, the gift of administration. When we look at the New Testament, the Bible lists all these different gifts. And by the way, the gifts didn't go away when the scripture was finished. There were temporary gifts, there were permanent gifts. A temporary gift is tongues. We don't speak in tongues anymore because of 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We understand that the scripture has done away with some temporary gifts, but there are still permanent gifts that God has given us. Now listen to me. There are people that can rely, whether you think about it or not, you call it talent, God calls it spiritual gift, and you have things that you fall back on because God's personally put inside of you some things that it's not you, it's him, but they're spiritual gifts. But do you understand, no matter what your spiritual gift is, it is only enhanced by God and your spirituality. Our spirituality is what causes God to use that spiritual gift. I think Solomon proved it when he said that in the scripture. Look at your Bible again in 1 Kings chapter 3. Again, he wasn't referring to spiritual gifts, but look what he said about his father in verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy according. In other words, you showed mercy to my father for this reason. According as he walked before thee in what? And in what? And in what? Uprightness of heart with thee. And so here's what Solomon was saying. Hey, God, I know you blessed my father, but my father got your blessing because he walked uprightly and walked in truth and walked in righteousness. Church, I mean, do you understand that God's given you spiritual gifts to use for him? But I want to tell you something. Unless you use spirituality to be able to use a spiritual gift, God will never use your spiritual gift. Amen. Church, I mean, God wants to use you. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to fulfill his will in your life. What does he say in Revelation 4, verse number 11, on why you were created? To do his pleasure. What's the pleasure? Pleasure means will. It's talking about his desire. It means his purpose for your life. Listen, all of us are like Solomon this morning because of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. We understand that God uses that phrase several times in the New Testament, that he's just waiting for us to ask. And I'm just telling you that most Christians are asking for the wrong things. God, I've got this bill. Would you please take care of it? God, I need a new car. Would you please give me a new car? God, I need a new job. This job is killing me. God, wait a second here. You're asking for the wrong things. You're asking for fruit instead of root. Solomon understood it wasn't about having more riches and having more money and having more honor. He knew it was God giving him the ability to lead his people, and by as he led God's people, God would bless them. So can I just tell you that when it comes to asking, it needs to be with gratefulness. God, it's you. Thank you for what you've already done, and whatever you're going to do, it's going to be because of you. It's got to be with humility. I am but a little child. God, I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. I don't want you to miss the last one. This is interesting. Just look at verse number 9 now. Now, you already know what he asked for. He asked for, we say the word wisdom. God called it understanding, but saying here. Verse number 9, give therefore thy servant. Here's what he asked for, an understanding heart. Just remember, the preposition after understanding heart is to judge thy people. And then he says the reason for it, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy people, so great a people? Now I want you to notice what God said about his request in verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, Church Family, when I say Solomon asked this thing, what does that tell you? Was he asking for multiple things, yes or no? He said he asked for this thing. Look at the next verse. Look what God said. And God said unto him, verse 11, because thou hast asked, what's the next two words? This thing. this thing. Church, all I'm trying to get you to see about this morning is that when God said to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee, he didn't give God a list. He asked for one thing. I'm glad you know your Bibles. It helps me. I don't have to memorize so much scripture because you have it all. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get
understanding.
The word principal means first and foremost. Wisdom is the principal thing. Obviously, Solomon wrote that. You know why he wrote that? Because he knew what was principal and he knew what to ask for. You know what we need as far as a church and as far as a church member and as far as a family of Christ? We all need wisdom. We need an understanding heart to be able to discern between good and bad, to be able to make right judgment, to make right decisions in our life. How many times have you heard decision determines destiny? In other words, the choices that we make will determine where we're going to end up. You know what Solomon was asking for? Decision. That I might know what is good and bad, that I might know what I should do and I shouldn't do. I cannot lead your people without an understanding heart, without knowing. You've heard me say before, Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6, says this. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I believe that the definition for wisdom is Proverbs 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, colon. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. You've, again, forgive me, a little bit elementary, and I'll hustle. But knowledge is the facts. Knowledge means to know. It means to know something. It's the facts. It's the information. I don't like preaching just information. But we need information. You have to have the information to be able to understand what kind of decision we make in our life. That's why we give the interpretation of a passage before we give an application of a passage. So knowledge is to know. It means knowledge. It means to know knowledge. So knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. Understanding is the idea to comprehend knowledge. Why do we send our kids to school? Is we're trying to increase their knowledge or their understanding of the knowledge they're getting. We don't just hand a kid a math book and a science book and says, okay, you got knowledge. But truthfully, they do. The book has the knowledge in it. The teacher teaches the knowledge in the book to get them to understand what that knowledge means. 2 + 2 = 4. I was hoping you got the right answer. You know why you got the right answer? Because you understand. You said, no, I memorized my multiplication table. Do you really want to go there? We memorize multiplication tables in elementary school so that we have an understanding of what they mean. Now follow me. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom, knowledge is the information or the facts. Understanding is the comprehension of those facts. Wisdom is the right use of those facts. Wisdom says, okay, I know what's right. I understand why it's right. Now I'm going to do what is right. Amen. You know what Solomon was asking for? The principal thing. The most important thing. God, I can't do it. I need wisdom. I need an understanding heart. I need to comprehend what you want. I need to know what's good and bad, what's right and wrong, what's true and what's false. I need to know. I need you to show me what that is. And you know, when he asked for that, he became the richest king, the wisest king, the most honorable king. You know why? Because he asked for the right thing. You know, Simon just asked Courtney to marry him. That's always a big day. It's always a big day when they say yes. But can I just tell you, Simon and Courtney, the biggest thing in their life is not each other. You know the biggest thing in their life? Wisdom. Did you know, of course, Riley and Michelle are already started down this path. Of course, Layla and Israel, some of these ones that just got married. But Courtney thinks she knows Simon, but how many understand that when you marry somebody, you really get to know them? She's going to find out that knight in shining armor has lots of dents in his armor. Last night I was on the second level. My kids sleep on the upstairs level. And I was walking, but there was nobody. It was just me. I was on the main level. I was just me. Now, I'm going to confess, I should have done it. But it was just me. Nobody else is on the main level, just me. And I burped. I know I should have been quiet, but there's nobody there. I burped. From the heavenlies, Sarah yells down, "You're shaking things up here." I couldn't believe she said that. So I said, "Excuse me." I wanted to burp again, believe me. Now, can I just tell you something? When those two get married and they get to really know each other, she's probably going to find out that guy burps. She might even find out that he doesn't pick up his clothes, his dirty clothes. She might find out he's the worst driver ever. He's going to find some things out about her. So the truth of the matter is they don't need each other. You know what they need? Wisdom. Amen. Wisdom for how he needs to treat her and wisdom how she needs to treat him. Amen. Wisdom and understanding on why they do what they do instead of just condemning on what they're doing. How's it going there, Riley? It's going. Believe me, it'll be going for a long time. Church family, it doesn't matter if it's revival or not. You know, every day of your life, you should be asking the Lord for wisdom.
Amen.
God, I'm but a little child. Start off with gratefulness. God, it's you. Thou hast. Everything I have is because of you. God, I'm but a little child with humility. I don't deserve and I can't. And then you need to be specific. There needs to be, not only you ask with gratefulness, you ask with humility, you ask with purpose.
Yes.
What's the purpose? It's singular. I need wisdom. I need wisdom beyond my years. I might be 55, but give me the wisdom of a 75-year-old. I might be 20, but give me the wisdom of a 40-year-old.
Yes.
God, teach me. Help me to be teachable.
Yes.
Help me to learn. I want to tell you something. Pride will keep you from getting what God really wants to give you because you think you already have it. Church family, can I just show you this last thing and I'm done? Look back at your Bible for just a second here. I find this phrase interesting. In verse number 7, he says, "And now, O Lord," verse 7, "my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David thy father, and I am but a little child." We always use the whole phrase, "I know not how to go out or come in," but if you just think about those first three words, Solomon was king, and you know what he said? "I know not. I know not." I want to tell you, I'm 55. Some of you are older than I am. And you've lived enough life to experience and understand some things, but you don't understand everything. Solomon, as king, said, "I don't know." There's things that God wants to teach us. So how do you do that? "Ask what I shall give thee." God, I'm asking, would you give me wisdom and understanding heart to be able to understand life and what to do and to make the right choice as far as what's good and what's bad for me, for my family, for this church? God, would you please give me wisdom? All of us need wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Liberally means much. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a promise. Just remember, start now and ask the Lord, "Lord, would you please give me wisdom? Would you please teach me?" Young people this morning, I can't stress how important it is for you to get wisdom. You're making choices that are going to affect the rest of your life now. You need to ask God for wisdom. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Pianist is going to come. We're going to take a moment of prayer.